Hello there, this is Jedi General of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you are listening to Jedi Eternal.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We're back for another installment of Jedi Eternal, a Star Wars podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Braxton Taylor, alongside Andrew, the Great Shepherd, Bolin.
The Great Shepherd, huh?
Yeah, Andrew is, he's like, you know, the leader of his youth group in his church, and so he's just telling me all the wacky stories of these miscreant youth.
Oh, boy.
He is the Great Shepherd, and he is not shepherding too hard. You know, spoil the rod, spoil the sheep, you know, or spare the rod, spoil the sheep, you know.
Yeah. You know,
the joys of working with youth, right?
I've done, you know? in my years so far, I've often wondered if I'm making a difference.
If I'm truly making a difference. Yeah, I taught several grades when I was working at the church's school years ago. Uh-huh. And I was mostly over like grades like 5th, 5th and 6th, and I literally about lost my mind. So I can empathize with you.
All those kids are in jail now.
They're all in prison, federal penitentiaries, or on heroin for sure. We are back once again, guys. We're very excited to be here. You know, it's been a bit of a hiatus. You know, kind of how it happens. It's just,
oh boy.
Never ends. It never ends, folks. There's a billion things that always happen, it seems like, but we're very glad to be back. Hope you did enjoy that little video Andrew did a while back on the Acolyte trailer. Hope you enjoyed that, and hopefully we can maybe do some more of those in the future. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, it was one of those things. You were gone, but the Acolyte had just came out. The trailer had just came out.
Right.
So we decided I would just do a little thing, and not my favorite way to do it. That's for right. Sure. By myself, it's kind of awkward, and yeah. Not near as entertaining, I think, as our, you know,
probably
our
not.
as our playful banter can be, but
yeah,
you know, it was still, I think, worth doing, hopefully.
Yeah, it's good to at least get it out there, and that way you can talk about it and people,
well,
because
otherwise we either don't talk about it at all, or we wait till now to talk about it, and at this
later,
point it's
yeah,
like everybody's already, you know, seen it, and
anyway, hope you enjoyed that. If not, feel free to throw virtual tomatoes at Andrew. Anyway.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, okay.
You make me cry.
I'll move on.
I'm very sensitive.
I'm very sensitive. My fragile masculinity cannot take it. But for real though, guys, thank you so much for joining us again. We just want to quickly drop a little bit on our Patreon here, a little bit of an announcement, or not announcement, but, you know, talking about it once more as we usually do on every episode. And we have one tier on our Patreon that's only $5 a month. And that Patreon gets you access to a few things that we, you know, you probably already know very well, but we want to talk about it in case there's any new folks in our on this episode here. You know, first and foremost, probably the biggest thing that you're going to get out of this Patreon subscription, of course, is that you get access to a second podcast from us called And Other Stuff, where we discuss pretty much anything and everything that is not Star Wars, whether it be movies or video games or whatever we feel like talking about in our personal lives. It's usually a pretty fun time over there. It gets maybe a little even more wackier over there than it does here. So, you know, feel free to join that to get access to that podcast. Of course, you do also become what's called a Patreon producer, where, you know, you guys who are a part of that Patreon get first say on anything that goes on in this podcast and the other one. If we have any questions on how we want to proceed, you know, if you have any suggestions, you can always message to us. And as a producer, we have first say on what you guys say to us. But last but not least, we also, or well, I guess the second to last thing is that we do post our episodes on Jedi Eternal on there at the very least a few days early for those who are a part of that. And last but not least, every time we do an episode, we want to give a shout out to our Patreon producers. So Drew, take it away.
Yes, we want to thank JB, Josh and Birkinshaw, Tara Bolin, Grace and David Gill, Alex Mason, Corey Wise, Jay Kamdar, Jenna, Caleb Luna, and Alex.
Woo-hoo! So thank you guys very, very, very much. We really do appreciate you guys so much.
Yes, we do. It means a lot to us. And, you know, it does allow us to do some things that we probably would not do otherwise. So
yeah.
There is some, you know, we, again, like, I like to mention this some just so you guys are aware, but, like, you know, to host, to have a place to keep our podcast running, mm-hmm. it requires some kind of like host. So, you know, that requires a fee. And so like the money you guys give to us helps us do that, but not only that, but also, helps us to grow our podcast with, you know, new technology and new devices, things that we may need.
Exactly.
And we are working on some of those things that we want to do in the future. So every penny helps.
Absolutely. And again, it is not lost on us that you guys pay money to us every month on that. So we are so thankful for that. You know, thank you for joining that. We're going to go ahead and put that out because, you know, people probably are tired of hearing that every time. But you know what? we always say it. But as we do in season two, we like to go ahead and throw
Whoa. What's going on here?
Your mic's about to fall off the stand. What's going on here?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Whoa!
Oh, you just absolutely destroyed
everybody's ears. I'm so sorry.
Because, like, the mic dropping was pretty bad, and then you screamed into it. So it was a double whammy, folks. Sorry about that.
Well, so... my son has been grabbing this here a lot lately, I need to work on it some now, but I think we're okay for the moment. Okay. I think we're going to survive. I apologize to anyone listening in their car or have earbuds in, and I just like...
Our lawyer says if you do have to go to the hospital, we are not liable for...
I could say, let's go back and edit that out, but I'm totally not going to
do that. You know... How professional we are, guys. So, like I said, in season two, as we usually do, we like to go throw in a few fun facts for you and some trivia. So, pulling from Star Wars Fascinating Facts, Story, Lore, and History from the Greatest Galaxy from Pablo Hidalgo, we got two fun facts for you this week. First one is a short one. It's just called Throne of the Sith. The jagged Sith throne found deep beneath Exegol in The Rise of Skywalker finds its origins in artwork by Ralph McQuarrie, exploring an idea from the early drafts of Return of the Jedi. In that version of Episode 6, the Emperor ruled from a throne room hidden deep beneath the surface of Had Abaddon, the city planet. That throne sat in a pool of lava. So, pretty cool.
That was cool.
Pretty neat, like what could have been and stuff like that. But, you know, as much as we like to trash on the sequel trilogy, and I still do, is that one thing I will credit to the sequel trilogy is that they did actually pull a lot of old Ralph McQuarrie concept stuff and mm-hmm. like adapt it to the new sequel trilogy, which, you know, cool for them. Anyway, so the second and last fact for this week is called C-3PO. The early skeletal incarnation of C-3PO seen in The Phantom Menace is a good example of collaboration between old and new methods. At the time in the late 1990s, a skeletal C-3PO would be way too complex to build as a CG animated character, but was also impossible to realize as a man in a suit. Instead, C-3PO was built as a practical puppet by the ILM model shop and puppeteered in the Bunraku style, a 17th century Japanese technique wherein the puppeteer stands behind the model and drives its performance. ILM artists then digitally painted out the puppeteer, replacing the performer with imagery, from a, quote, clean plate version of the empty set. So that's actually pretty cool, you know, and I think that's what makes Star Wars so good for a lot of people is that they're constantly using all of these cool, innovative techniques in the era that they're being made at the time, right? And, you know, that's what really brings that realism to the movies. So, but whether it's, you know, cutting bleeding edge CG effects, you know, we're not going to, whether you like it or not, you know, the time the prequels were made, it was bleeding edge CG effects to mm-hmm. the, you know, practical effects of the original trilogy to the mixed practical and CG of the new stuff, you mm-hmm. know, pretty cool. I just wanted to say that, you know, that was a pretty cool fact to me that they use 17th century old puppeteering stuff. Classic Star Wars. Classic George Lucas. Okay.
Good old Lucas.
So that concludes our fun facts for the week. So we do have one trivia question for you. And that question is, what is the name of Anakin's stepbrother? What is the name of Anakin's stepbrother? So we'll let you guys think about that. Type your answers in the comments. Don't cheat. And we will reveal the answer as we close out this episode. Don't be bad, boys and girls. I hope you guys enjoyed those fun facts and trivias, but we're going to go ahead and get into what is new in this week in Star Wars. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is very fresh, and that is the Tales of the Empire was announced for May the 4th. Of course, we're very familiar with Tales of the Jedi, but apparently we're getting now Tales of the Empire following the same format.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This, I mean, just dropped a few hours ago as when we were recording this, and so thank you for doing that for our podcast. We appreciate it. This is interesting because we've been talking about a rumor that's been going around for quite a while now that there was going to be another Tales series, but this is not what we had heard.
Yeah.
It's similar, but not what we heard. We were hearing it was going to be Tales of the Sith. So it's interesting that what we end up getting is actually Tales of the Empire, which you could argue is
like Sith play into that to some degree.
Yeah,
right?
So it's probably where the rumor kind of I say that because I would assume this still is the rumor we got. I don't think there's a separate Tales of the Sith that's like on its way, even though that may still happen, but I think this is what we were hearing about. But this says that the Disney Plus press release describes it as the second installment in the Tales series. And Dave Filoni is credited as creator and the supervising director. And the cast includes Diana Lee Inosanto, Morgan Elsbeth, Meredith Salinger, Barra Sophie, which, stop right there, from the trailer, there is a trailer, and based on what we see in the trailer, it does appear that... these are the two characters we're getting it focused on. Because as we saw in Tales of the Jedi, we had the focus was on
Ahsoka
and Count Dooku.
Yeah.
And so this appears to be Morgan Elsbeth and Barra Sophie. So so I think that's pretty cool. The fourth sister is also in this. We have Thrawn, which looks fantastic in this, in the Clone Wars animation.
Everything looks better in Clone Wars really animation. Looks
really good. We have the Grand Inquisitor. We got General Grievous. And so actually, there's a official synopsis here. It says, Star Wars Tales of the Empire is a six-episode journey into the fearsome galactic empire through the eyes of two warriors on divergent paths. Set during different eras. I can't talk. After losing everything, young Morgan Elsbeth navigates the expanding imperial world toward a path of vengeance, while former Jedi Barra Sophie does what she must to survive a rapidly changing galaxy. The choices they make will define their destinies.
You know, Barriss is a, I think it is a pretty interesting choice, but for me, Morgan Elsbeth, I'm just kind of like, why? You know what I'm saying? Because what I noticed the pattern was for the first one, the Tales of the Jedi, and we actually talked about this in the prior episode, was that there seemed to be a hot topic person in there. You know what I'm saying? Like someone that everybody knows, they love, and they're really interested in, which was Ahsoka, right? And then there was someone who's interesting, but we just don't know as much about them. And then it was Count Dooku. So when we heard about Tales of the Sith, or what, you know, what the rumor was, should I say, we were like, okay, well, someone big could be like, you know, like who's very well known and loved, like Darth Vader, and then someone, you know, less known but interested in, such as whoever we said, right? So looking at Tales of the Empire now, it does seem a little odd, and I think Barriss Offee would, or Offee or whatever, would have been a very
honestly,
good...
Honestly, I don't know if it's Offee or Offee. I cannot remember.
Whatever, yeah. It's Barriss. Let's just say Barriss,
I've said both many times, so I just go back and forth,
There's
right
nothing
in the
stopping us from mispronouncing things as usual, right?
Yeah. I mean, we could simply look it up, but why would we do
but
that?
Why would we do that? It's not fun. But, you know, I think Barriss would definitely be a really good Count Dooku. You know what I'm saying? Where she's... interesting character,
yeah,
but not much is known about her. So, but it's just interesting that Morgan Elsbeth is, I think, a even more obscure character to some degree. And I think people are maybe less, I mean, I'm speaking just for myself, but I feel like the average person would be maybe less interested in her than even Barriss, you know. So,
yeah, so here's the way I look at it is we have Barriss, who anytime we have any kind of helmeted character that appears in Star Wars, people immediately start speculating that it's Barriss. And the reason for that is because we know she left the Jedi, right? She you know, it implied she was going to, you know, become a dark side user to some degree. And, but we never finished her story. Her story is incompleted.
Right.
And so with this, this gives the opportunity to tell more of that story, tell what happens. And from the trailers, it appears that it's going to go down the road of her becoming a part of the Grand Inquisition, which is not that surprising, because I think we all kind of assumed that that is where she was. And that's why every time we saw a new sister appear, everybody always thought it was her.
It's her.
The fact that now it seems like we're going to finally get that story, I think it will make a lot of fans happy. Now with Morgan Elsbeth, I think what they're trying to go for here is more a matter of she has, it's kind of like a recent,
it's the most recent bias,
I guess, kind of thing. It's like her character isn't necessarily that like important to us.
They could have done Thrawn. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. They could have
recent and
there are things. Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing against the fact that I think there's more interesting characters we could have done here.
Yeah,
but I think that they're going with this because people that are watching Star Wars as things come out, they've seen her now in The Mandalorian, and they've seen her in Ahsoka. So, you know, she's this character that has been in a lot of recent content that they don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah.
So,
see, I can see that reason, but for me, it's like, if you're going with that reasoning, why wouldn't you, again, have chosen Thrawn? He's the biggest headpiece, other than Ahsoka herself, in that show.
Sure.
People don't really, again, it kind of follows in the thread of Count Dooku, where it's an interesting character. People would probably like to know more about them, but they don't really know much about him at this point. So, well, but here's the thing.
I was about to say, here's the thing.
Here's the thing, right? There is stories out there for Count Dooku. There is additional things, but most people probably haven't read it. Okay. Mm. Likewise, Thrawn.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Has additional stories out there. Yeah. Entire trilogy.
That's exactly
of
what
books,
I was going
to. But most
two trilogies.
Well, two
books.
Trilogies, excuse me.
And then all kinds of legend books.
Right.
That they
but
still
most people probably haven't read it.
Right.
So
there's so much about Thrawn out there that you can learn about him if you want to.
Yeah.
But the average audience.
Yeah.
Has only seen a very tiny portion of him.
Exactly.
And have no idea anything about like the Chiss ascendancy and all of that stuff, right? They have no clue.
So it is just, to me, an interesting decision on that.
I'm with you on that 100%. Like, why not use Thrawn in this?
And we're talking about the Empire. Like, one of the biggest headpieces of the Empire is Thrawn.
And it's
you know,
you could have told a story about him still in the Chiss ascendancy and kind of how he transitions, and, you know, even tell a story that's in one of the books, but kind of bringing it to a bigger audience.
Sure.
I wouldn't have been against that, but for whatever reason, they did not choose to go that route. So
definitely odd, but it is what it is.
But I have to say, I was very pleased to see him, that he's going to be included in this, and seeing Thrawn, I believe for the first time in Clone Wars animation, right? I'm not crazy by saying that, right? Like, this is the first time we've seen him in this animation style.
So,
I know, we saw him in Rebels, obviously, but I think this is the first time we've seen him in the Clone Wars style. And
for some reason, I feel like that's not true, though. Like, I think that you're right, but like, there's like the little nagging piece of me that thinks that.
Well, yeah, well, and that's what I was. I could be, you know, I don't know what it would have been on, but when I saw him in the trailer, I'm like, man, it looks really good. And, you know, because Rebels, as much as I love parts of Rebels, the animation style always just drove me crazy. I was never a fan of the animation style of Rebels, but I love the Clone Wars animation. And so seeing Thrawn, we've seen Thrawn in Rebels, and which, you know, was, I think, a pretty good representation of him. And then we got him in live action, which I like that they used Lars, but I think the makeup is still just kind of...
Yeah, it's not exactly what you're expecting.
It doesn't really hit right for me, which, you know, I know part of that is... I almost think they need to add some CG on top of it or something. It almost seems like there's just...
Well, he has a taller head. And he also has like those kind of like, what do you want to say? Those protrusions on his forehead that they didn't really bring through.
Yeah, it's just, it's like they almost need to do some CG over his face to kind of make it feel a little more like it's not just a dude with makeup on, blue right, makeup on.
Yeah.
But then we also now have this Clone Wars animation, and I think this is now the best version of Thrawn that we've gotten. Like the most like realistic. I know that sounds kind of funny because it's an animation, but you know what I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know
by
exactly
that.
What you mean. Yeah. And the closest iteration to what
kind of like
think
what you would
be.
Expect him to look like. And so I think that's pretty cool that we're gonna get that. And it's great to have Lars back in that voice and see more
for
of
sure.
that. And and also we know General Grievous is going to be in this. And, you know, it's always great to get more Grievous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's what's cool is because we've heard about, like, I think, I don't know if this was the first, but one of the first times that we ever hear about Grievous infiltrating. The planet with the sisters. I can't even think of something.
Oh, Dathomir.
Dathomir.
We
hear about him going and just decimating Dathomir, but to actually see it, this is going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah. So lots of cool stuff with that. And we get some of the other sisters. I know one of them, I believe I saw in the trailer, is the one that Ahsoka later has to fight in the Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah, most likely. So, yeah. I could see that tying over for sure.
And then there was a little tease that Vader's going to be in it, which I always love to see that.
Yeah, her master as the Inquisitor. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, anyway we kind of hit that on the nail there.
Very, very excited for all of that. But that, we talked about that for a while. But I even thought about breaking down the trailer, but you know, you guys can go watch it.
Well, we have it posted on our Facebook page, so you can go check it out.
Go check it out there. It's just short enough that I didn't necessarily think we need to do a breakdown, but
yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'll change my mind, but I don't think I will.
we're very decisive here, folks.
Yeah. So moving on to our next story here in Star Wars, we have all 9 Star Wars saga films coming to theaters on May the 4th.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Yeah, so this is pretty awesome. So on May the 4th, you will be able to go to the theater, which May the 4th is on a Saturday this year. You'll be able to go to the theater and watch all of them from beginning to end.
Man, that's a long day right there.
It's a long day. And let me tell you, it would be really cool, but like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, that's a long time. That's
it's one of those things, like, it's like, oh, that sounds like fun, but yeah. I'm not
but it
would
actually be kind of torturous.
But torturous at the same time. And it's like, I can also watch them all from my couch at home.
The comfort of my own home. And, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. It would be sick to see them in theater.
Yeah. Right,
you know,
the grandiose
of the theater. But here's what would be cooler is if they broke it up over a week. You know what I'm saying? And they, like, you know, maybe I guess a little over a week. But you know what I'm saying? Like 9 days, like 1 day a week, you can go see this. Because I think it would detract from the enjoyment a little bit, knowing the fact that I have to be here for 10 hours or however long it's going
to
take.
You know, more power to you if you want to go and do it. I will say, the first showing will be, of course, The Phantom Menace, and you know, The Phantom Menace, it's celebrating its 25th anniversary, but also there will be a special feature after The Phantom Menace that will give us the first look at The Acolyte.
Oh, cool.
So I'm actually considering going and watching The Phantom Menace just to get the sneak peek at The Acolyte.
Yeah.
I have thought about doing that.
Which I would say it's most likely what the people saw at Celebration.
It could be.
I would be probably pretty surprised if it's something different than that. But anyway, nevertheless.
I'm kind of hoping that it's like a scene or two would be kind of cool if they actually like played a little bit of the show.
Yeah.
And not just like another little teaser trailer.
But, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, I kind of wish they would let us know what it's going to be, because if I go and watch it and then
it's basically the same thing.
If I have to sit there and watch one of my least favorite Star Wars movies And then no offense, Alex Mason. We know you absolutely adore the Phantom Menace.
For one specific reason too. Right?
One reason over every other reason.
We digress.
But anyways, you know, go check this out if you on May the 4th if you want to. You can go sit down and watch all of them.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you know, maybe go see The Phantom Menace just so you can see a look at The Acolyte. I believe tickets are on sale now, so.
Very cool.
Go buy a ticket.
Buy a ticket. Once and all. Okay. So, let's go ahead and move on to our final news piece for the week. And that is that EA is bringing Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes to PC, which is kind of an interesting choice there. If you're not familiar, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes is originated out as an application on your phone, like a mobile game, should I say. And me and Andrew had played it for a little bit, and it was fun for what it is, kind of like a card collecting thing mixed with like turn-based combat. So it was pretty neat, but apparently they're bringing it to PC, which is, again, it's interesting because it's such an older game. I think it launched 8 years ago, I believe.
Yes. 8 years ago,
and again, it's a fun game for what it is, but it's definitely a mobile game, right? Like, it's definitely kind of meant for mobile gaming. It's casual, you know what I'm saying? So
this is an interesting one because we, again, like you said, we've both dabbled in this game multiple times throughout the years,
right?
You know, we've kind of gotten the itch for something Star Wars, and it's just an easy one to jump into. But it's never kept me. Every time I play it, I play it for a little bit, like maybe a week or two, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is good, and you know, and then I quit playing it every time.
Yeah.
And not saying it's bad, it's just not really like my thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have gotten quite considerably farther in it than I have, but I think this is cool that they're bringing it to PC because, you know, to me that means they're not going anywhere. I guess, you know, they're like they're doubling down on it, saying like this is still right. Something we're going to continue to support, and I mean they're constantly still bringing new characters and updates.
Yeah, and for those who play this game, good for you guys.
And it says, you know, the PC version is going to have cross save functionality with the mobile version. Alongside improved performance, the frame rate is doubled to 60 frames per second. And then, of course, there's also going to be mouse and keyboard support. So, you know, I mean, hey, if you've maybe waited to try it, maybe now would be a good time to jump in. But I don't know. Even just like seeing this and reading about it, it's kind of making me want to pull it back up and just like mess around again and see. But
yeah, for me, it was one of those things where I played it pretty hard. Like I think every day for like a couple months, because I do kind of like I don't really like playing those kinds of games that often, but like when I do and I kind of get attached to that game, like I want to collect all the characters, you know, it's like I want to get all of them. I want to level them up and I you know what I'm saying? I get kind of addicted to that. But I know for me personally, when I played for like a solid like couple months and I'm just kind of like, I got a lot of characters and it's like really difficult to level them up without, you know, paying basically
dish
for
out
stuff.
The money.
And it's like, no. So I'm saying, can you get enjoyment out of this game and win? And, you know, it's not like a pay to win type thing, but you can pay to level up your characters. Cause like once you get to a certain level, you just kind of stall out pretty high and
it has some like time gating and stuff, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
It wants you, or it definitely encourages you to want to spend some money to progress quicker.
Right.
And, you know, that's just kind of that's what it always comes back to with mobile games that just annoy me to death.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I would 100% rather purchase a game like this for like, even, you know, charge me $10. I don't care.
Right.
I'd pay $10 for it and never time gate me or ask me to spend money for anything.
And see, what the thing is like just kind of getting into the industry just like for like a half second. It's like for a long time that's how it was. You know, you pay for like a really cool game like Infinity Blade. You remember Infinity Blade?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great games for mobile games. Mm. And they were probably like a $5-$10 or something like that. Maybe not even that much. But I just remember like you pay for it and then that's it. There's your game. You know, mm-hmm. But what they realized is like, well, if you give it to them for free, but then you have them all these little tiny things that they can pay, oh, yeah, they're going like to pay $100 rather than $30 or $10.
It's,
you know?
It's really, it's almost like a... It's kind of like dealing with like our addiction tendencies. You know what I mean? Like
it is.
Humanity. Yeah. It's like our tendency to almost get addicted to something is feeds off of that.
Well,
and feeds
exactly.
off of
yeah.
that desire. Like, oh,
that one
like,
more thing.
Kind of one more thing, you know, here, dangling thing. It in front
and,
of you.
And how they do it too is that it's also more accessible, right? When I want to buy this new character, mm-hmm. it's not $10. It's not $50. It's a couple bucks.
Right.
Maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's the industry as a whole. And not even in mobile games anymore, right?
Even like
it's even in console games
Fortnite
with like
and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Like a battle pass, right?
Or
like
any battle pass.
Like
yeah.
And most games have them now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a staple now of video games. It's like, you know, you're gonna buy a game, or it's a free to play game.
Right.
You know, Fortnite, free to play. And you can play it, but if you want to get a bunch of cool skins and, you know, all this stuff.
You play as your favorite character,
then,
you're going to
have to dish out some dough. You have to get them V-Bucks.
Now, can you get coins or whatever? I can't remember, like V-Bucks through the game. Yeah, but it's going to take you half a year to get enough to
forever.
Buy one character.
Exactly.
Know? So, anyway.
And like a lot of them, I know even with like Call of Duty, which it does the same thing. Like it gives you.
Well, Call
COD
of Duty
points.
Is even worse in my opinion because
mm-hmm. It is.
Every season you have to buy the battle pass to get the new guns. Mm-hmm. And if you don't buy it, then you don't get the new guns.
Well, and they give you COD points, some of them free, but it's only just like a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but if you want to, but if you get the battle pass, then you also get like a 10% boost in
yeah,
XP
yeah, yeah.
progression. So it's like.
So it's kind of pay to win. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't get it, you don't get the boost and you don't get the new weapons, which are
oh my goodness.
Totally OP. I know. We started way too late. I know we did. Anyway. Okay. So let's go ahead and move on, though. That kind of finishes up. We're like yapping so long today. We haven't recorded for a while. That's
no, you don't smell my dog.
Oh. No.
Oh, dude.
Thank goodness. Let me cover my nose if I can.
I don't know what. In the
I don't know if this is gonna muffle my voice and all, but
it's horrendous.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well. So anyway, let's move on to our rumors though for the week. And the first rumor is Saber Interactive CEO. So if you guys remember that name at all, says that KOTOR remake is still quote alive and well. And you know what? You know, they say that.
We don't believe you.
That's why we're putting it in rumors, because we don't believe you guys.
So here's the thing. You know, give you, if you're new, if you've not been keeping up with us, I'll give you a very quick run through on this. KOTOR remake was announced years ago, back in 2021.
Wow.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So here we are, years later, and supposedly has been 6 years in development already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has now been, it was in the hands of Embracer with the developer being Aspyr.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of fell through. They gave it to Saber Interactive. And now Embracer and Saber Interactive have split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is interesting. So, according to the Saber Interactive CEO, KOTOR remake is still being worked on. Now, here's what he said. It's clear and it's obvious that we are working on this. It's been in the press numerous times. What I will say is that the game is alive and well, and we are dedicated to making sure we exceed consumer expectations. Well, it's not clear and obvious, first
it's
of
not.
All.
When your company falls through like three times you switch ownership, it's like it's not that clear
it's
and obvious.
It's not clear and obvious. And even PlayStation, which when this was first announced, it was being announced as a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah.
For the PS5. That was kind of like a big selling point for the upcoming PS5. I don't even think the PS5 was out yet when they announced this and said it was coming to that console. And so that was kind of the big thing. And so now PlayStation, when they did their latest like upcoming games and kind of their list of things they've announced, and some of it even still years away, the Knights of the Republic wasn't on there. So that tells me they're not sure about it, you know, or they've exactly. distanced themselves from it, you know.
And that's a pretty big IP with Star Wars. So like, if they even had like an idea that was going to be on there, like you know that they would have included it, you know what I'm saying?
And it's, I don't know. We've talked about this so many times, and I'm not going to harp on it too long. I probably already have too long. But it's just one of my favorite games of all time. And, you know, this is a game that if you put it in the right hands, it could be one of the most amazing things we've gotten in a long time.
Oh, 100%.
If you can continue to keep the magic of the story of the game, of that universe, but upgrade it with newer gameplay and newer graphics, you have a guaranteed hit on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, they can't seem to do that efficiently.
Right.
And now we have Saber Interactive, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say Saber Interactive is incapable of doing it. But what I will say is that Saber Interactive hasn't been necessarily throwing out AAA games.
Right.
They're actually known for helping port games.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they helped port like all the Halos to PC.
Mm. Yeah.
Things like that. But they're not known for necessarily releasing big AAA games. So I'm like, why do we keep doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not, again, maybe they're going to make it happen. And cool if they do. But I don't understand why we can't give this IP to someone big that knows what they're doing, that can really hit this one out of the park. Because until they do that, there's two things. Either it's going to just continue to fail, we're never going to see it, which I think is the most likely.
Yeah.
Or it is going to get released and it's going to be trash. And that's going to be really, really sad. That's going to be so upsetting. And it's like, you know, this past year has only shown that this game could just hit it out of the park because of Baldur's Gate 3.
100%.
Baldur's Gate 3, which Baldur's Gate, that series, that style came out of also where KOTOR's from, because they both were from BioWare a long time ago.
Right.
So they have that same history where Baldur's Gate 3, you know, upgraded, you know, brought to modern times. And essentially that's what we need done with Knights of the Republic. Mm-hmm. And it's gone to even show that you could even keep the same type of gameplay with the turn-based.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate did it and it was just fine.
Yeah.
Now we've talked, I kind of hope that's not the case, right?
Because they're remaking it. They're not just porting it, right?
Right.
Or redoing the graphics.
We've kind of talked, and the rumors have been that they were going to update it with a new style of combat, where it's going to be more like action-adventure combat, which is kind of more hack and slash, kind of what we want.
Yeah.
But they've gone to show with Baldur's Gate 3, you can still do turn-based and people will show up.
Now, I will say with Baldur's Gate, and we're getting off a little topic here, but it's like, with Baldur's Gate, the turn-based kind of, it supplements the game in the sense that, you know, it aids the storytelling. It's supposed to be as if you're playing Dungeons and Dragons. You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
And so you have to do, in real life, if you're playing Dungeons and Dragons at a table, you have to do turn-based combat. There's no other way.
Right.
So it's almost like a funny little nod and nostalgic type, I don't know about nostalgic, you know, like a funny little nod to the fact that you are a game player.
You know, you are literally playing a digital version of D&D when you play Baldur's Gate.
So the turn-based combat is actually integrated into the game itself.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, this is how you play it. You
right,
know?
Right. Anyway. Which I think is a good justification for why KOTOR should change its style, because it's there is not anything like that to justify, other than that's just kind of like...
That's how it was at the beginning.
Yeah, that's just kind of where it came from. And in that year and everything, it kind of fit into what BioWare was doing and all of that. But, you know, I think now...
With the technology that we have, with the trend of the games that have been coming out for the past decade, it wouldn't really make sense, you know.
Yeah, and I still think you will capture a bigger audience with...
1,000%.
You know, with a Force Unleashed style gameplay, or you know, or even you know, in more recent Jedi, the Jedi series. But anyway, let's move on past that to our next rumor, which is kind of continuing in the same trend of that someone who should know what they're talking about, but we don't believe them. Patty Jenkins claims she is back working on Rogue Squadron. Whoa. So as I said to you earlier, Braxton, so does this mean she's like working on it for free in her bedroom? Yeah, you know, like she's
been hashing around some ideas at the old apartment here, like, you know?
Yeah, it's she claims that she is working as writer and director of Rogue Squadron still. She goes as far to claim in this that actually it was agreed upon right prior to the summer strikes that happened. I don't know.
Sounds like someone who desperately wanted to do this movie and it got canceled. And then she's like, no, it's still happening. It's still happening, you know?
Yeah. So according to this, she left the project to make Wonder Woman 3 before then losing that project because of the James Gunn takeover.
Well, that's what you get for canceling.
And now she says that she is back in the saddle. So I don't know. I don't again, just like this last rumor we talked about, I don't really believe it. I have a really hard time believing that we see this movie, at least see this movie anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have all of our kind of like dockets of like the movies that are coming out, and that's not been a part of it.
No. And the movies that we have gotten are going to be the ones we see in the next, what, like, you know.
Like 6-7 years. Yeah,
exactly.
You know? Something
so,
like that.
So
yeah.
If Rogue Squadron happens, we're looking at, you know, closer to probably like 10
years,
you know.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
and it, you know, it just, I don't want to talk about it for 10 years, you know. It's like, let's just,
yeah, if it happens, it happens, but we'll talk about it.
It's,
you know,
like, I don't want this to continue to be something we have to talk about every year. Is like, is Patty Jenkins Rogue Squadron? She says she's still working on it,
and that's also a depressing thought. We could be talking about this when we're in our 40s.
Oh, that's really depressing.
Man. Well, that ruined the episode.
I just want to go cry now.
Time is inescapable. Yeah. So anyway, so let's move on to our final rumor of the week, and that is Daisy Ridley says the quote new Jedi Order movie could start filming either late 2024 or early 2025. So, you know, Drew, why do we have this as a rumor?
So we have this as a rumor because it very clearly doesn't necessarily sound like she knows for sure. She's been getting interviewed for another movie that she's in, and of course, obviously, she's getting Star Wars questions, and she says she knows a script is happening, and she said she's going to be reading it imminently, but she actually doesn't know. She doesn't know what's in the script or anything yet. And that in terms of shooting, she thinks, you know, it could be end of this year, beginning of 2025. But again, she's just throwing stuff out there. She doesn't really know, other than I'm sure she's heard some things, but like she doesn't, know for sure. She said she does think that the writer's strike obviously delayed a lot of things. She thinks that the original intention was for this year sometime, but she doesn't know now if that will still be the case. So, you know, it's just kind of just throwing some stuff out there. Mm-hmm. I think that if we assume that The Mandalorian and Grogu is taking that 2026 spot, then odds are that this releases... Well, so there's still two movies in the 2026, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's, which is crazy to me that they're, the, don't even get me started. I'm getting started.
Uh-oh, folks.
Yeah. No. So what happened last time we had Star Wars movies 6 months apart?
We know the results of that, of right. course, is just a failure, and now we won't even ever get and another so, movie so, like that, because we're like, oh, it's a failure.
They said it was a failure, and that they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have released it so soon. Mm-hmm. Literally, that's what they said. And then they stopped doing those completely, mm-hmm. and now we've like gotten no movies, mm-hmm. and now we're finally going to get a new Star Wars movie, and what are they going to do? They're going to release two within 6 months again.
Method.
Yeah. What in the world? I don't get it. I
don't know.
Now listen, for me, I don't care. For me, great. Two Star Wars
if we can
movies
get
in
two
a
good
year,
Star Wars movies in a
cool.
row. Awesome.
I'm all in. But if it truly was a hindrance last time, why are we doing it again? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, if we assume the Mandalorian Grogu is taking May 2026, which has been highly suggested.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it's a good chance that the Daisy Ridley one is going to happen December of 2026. So,
yeah, definitely possible.
We'll see. I don't know. I think it's still kind of crazy, but
we'll see. So anyway, that concludes our news and rumors for the week. So we're going to go ahead and get into our main topic of the week. And that is, of course, reviewing the most latest episodes of The Bad Batch. So unfortunately, I think we're all aware of the elephant in the room. We have not reviewed like the past like six episodes, so we totally get that. But we're kind of to the point now where we've watched it. It's been out into the ether for a while now, so we're really just going to focus on the last few, 2 to 3 episodes. Probably the must two because it's the most recent, but of course this third to last episode, of course, did have one of the biggest parts of the show thus far, and we're going to get into that a little bit too because we can't help ourselves. So Drew, go ahead, lead us off.
Yeah, so the first thing we're going to talk about here is episode, let's see, what episode was it? Episode 9, right?
I have this up for you.
Oh, thank you. Episode 9, The Harbinger. So, this was kind of the big moment we've been waiting on. We
right.
talked about, with The Bad Batch, one of the things from the trailer we saw that was very intriguing to us mm-hmm. was the reveal of Asajj Ventress. Mm-hmm. And so, in canon, Asajj Ventress died in a novel. Mm-hmm. It was a novel that was created as a script for Clone Wars that never saw the light of day. It was turned into a novel, but that was still considered canon. And so there were a lot of questions. We thought maybe it could be like a flashback of some kind or
clone.
We talked about clones. We talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So this is officially the episode she comes back in. And she comes back with little to no fanfare.
Nothing.
It was just like she's just standing there all of a sudden. There was no like.
There's a ship. Turns around and there she is. And you're like,
she's
okay.
I thought it was going to be a little more like, you know.
Yeah. Some sort of announcement or, hey, this is her, you know.
Some kind of big reveal or something. Yeah. But no.
Yeah.
And I have to say, overall, I was very frustrated with this episode. So basically, Well, first of all, they don't even know who she is at first, which is also kind of interesting to me. I think it would have made more sense if they had known of her, mm-hmm. and which I think they would have.
Again, it's like they dance this line where they never commit to really either side, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they don't really know who she is, and they're kind of wary of her. But then at the same time, like throughout the episode, they're like looking her up and like, oh, it is. Look, it's Asajj Ventress.
Yeah. Well, one of them's like, oh, I thought I recognized her, but they don't act like they recognize her at first.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, yeah, she's got hair now, but I mean,
I feel like the pale skin, the tattoos.
Yeah,
I think it's a
pretty
recognizable,
Yeah. And so she's there, and anyways, long story short, they're like, basically, Asajj is like, I'll do some training with her, see if she has a high M count. And so it goes through pretty typical, stuff.
Yeah.
Like she's getting some training, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the episode ends with it being very, they don't ever really say for sure.
Well, yeah, so basically she says, like, oh, she's not force sensitive. And then they send her off, and then they're kind of like, she would need more training. So yeah. It's like, so does she have force sensitivity or not? Like, you know, there was no clear indicators that was like, oh, yeah, she's force sensitive, you know.
Well, it almost seemed to suggest, to me, by the end of it, almost suggested that she lied because she didn't want her to be,
like, found out or follow this path or something like that.
It was almost like she lied about it to keep her from. Yeah. But I'm not it doesn't necessarily confirm for sure. But, go ahead.
No, well, go ahead, because you had a thought. Just finish.
I was just going to say that the most annoying thing of the episode, though, is that it never explains how Asajj Ventress is back.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the number one question we all have as fans.
I thought she was dead. How's she come back?
We thought she's dead. How is she back? And the episode refuses to answer that question.
Not even a hint.
Doesn't even hint at it. Well, I will say there's maybe one hint.
Oh, is there?
There's maybe one hint. And that is at one point, it says something, and her response was like, I have a few lives left, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, basically, isn't the Empire going to be searching for you because you have a high M count?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, I'm not worried about it. I have a few lives left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, you know,
I guess that's true.
You could take that a couple different ways.
So she uses the sister's magic to, like, reincarnate herself or something.
Right. Has she been
resurrected?
Resurrected. Yeah. Is she a clone? Does she have multiple clones? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, multiple clone bodies? Like, or is she kind of making a joke about the fact that they thought she was dead, but she's still alive? So she's like, you know, I got a couple lives left because people already thought I was dead once.
Yeah.
Type thing. There's a lot of ways it can be taken, but guess what? They didn't give us an answer.
Nothing. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you have a better answer to this, but someone in the executive side of this, on the actual official Star Wars team, said, well, her coming back is canon, and it still fits within existing canon, i.e. this book, but we'll be basically, answering those questions in a later story. So it's just kind of funny because it just seems so haphazard. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, is it another book or is it another show? It's like, oh, hey, you know, this person was dead, but we brought her back. You know, there's a reason for it and it fits in the canon, but we'll explain it later. You know what I'm saying?
It reeks of somebody, maybe even Dave Filoni. Somebody said, I want Asajj Ventress back. We're going to use her again in the future. We have plans for her. Probably live action plans.
Most likely, yeah.
That would be my guess. They want to use her in live action for something, so they want to bring her back.
And we're getting a lot of these Night Sister stuff through Ahsoka, you know. So
I think that they're like, okay, well, how can we start this? Okay, well, we can have her show up in Bad Batch. And then someone's like, well, she's already dead, so how do we... And they're like, oh, well, you know what, we'll do a story about that later, that explains how she came back. It doesn't fit within Bad Batch to tell the story, so we're going to tell it later in blah, blah, blah.
Like, but then you're going to leave all these people with all these questions, like, how on earth...
It's like, we'll write a book about it later or something. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like that's how they're... But it's like, we just need her to show up so that people know she's back around so we can have her in blah, blah, blah later down the road.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
And so, you know, honestly, this completely... I guess it's not unrelated, but you know what I'm saying? I did want to point this out. What's very interesting, for the first time in... I don't know how many iterations of Star Wars we've gotten this far. We've heard the word midichlorian for the first time for I don't know how long, because we've been constantly hearing M count. Mm-hmm. We actually heard her say midichlorian.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I didn't even catch that.
Really? No, I figured that would be something he's gonna mention. We didn't mention it yet. Yeah, she says midichlorian. She says midichlorian, which I was like, it kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, I thought we were kind of like trying to move away from midichlorian.
Well, that's the whole reason why they started calling it M count, just because there's such a negative reaction to midichlorians that they just started calling it M count.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Was it her telling them what an M count is? Because they don't know what an M count is.
Yeah,
right?
She never explains it. She just used it in lieu of M count. So you just was talking like her midichlorian.
Yeah, I totally
didn't
catch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. So anyway, but you know, in terms of like, you know, there's a lot of things we're kind of frustrated with on this episode, but just to talk about like what's good though, it is cool to see. I always really enjoyed Asajj Ventress, first of all. And second of all, it was, I mean, I know it was at the cost or price of our main characters in this show, which kind of diminishes them a little bit. But I have to admit, I did love seeing her just absolutely wreck house with the Bad Batch, because, yeah. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get that they're highly trained, like, special clones stuff, but, like, bro, come on. You know, and that was also kind of my frustration a little bit with you know, Revenge of the Sith, you know, episode 3, the movie, was, you know, you got these basic clones who are just taking down these Jedi. And, you know, there's whole reasons behind that. They weren't expecting it and blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I was, it just always kind of irked me on how easily these clones kill these Jedi. So I thought, like, this special group of clones got just absolutely decimated by Asajj. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I like the character of Asajj. I like her story and where, how she begins and where, well, at least where we thought she ended. And I think, yeah, I mean, she is a compelling character that I think could have a lot more story told. So I'm not necessarily against her being alive.
If only they didn't kill her off in a book.
Yeah. It's like, maybe if, you know, maybe if they didn't try to kill her off and now we have this unanswered question of how she's back. And it's like, it's just kind of frustrating that we don't know, and who knows when we'll know. You know, I guess maybe she could be back in this series and maybe there's an answer. I don't know. They've not told us that she's in this series more than that one time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she isn't.
Right.
And maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're, and if that's the case, I'd be able to come back to this episode and be like less critical of it when you look at the entire series as a whole. But as of right now, I remain critical. But let's move on to the next episode. And that is episode 10, Identity Crisis. So this one here, I actually thought this episode was okay. This is one where we're focusing on Mount Tantus with Dr. Hemlock. Is there, and then we have the Dr. Emery, who is taking over as the new chief scientist for Project Necromancer. So we do get a reveal here and some answers to some questions, because this was the vault, right? We talked about the vault at the beginning of the episodes when this season started. I had some pretty crazy theories. None of my theories were anywhere close
yeah,
to being correct.
Yeah.
It is actually children with high M counts are being held captive within this vault.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously the reasoning for that is they're wanting to have a way to bring Palpatine back if he were to die, right? So we do know that Omega, we do have this answer, that Omega's blood is the perfect binder between the children's blood and, I assume, Palpatine.
Well,
whatever,
basically,
whatever
it's the clone and the M count.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and so that is like what they need her for. And so we kind of just go through this whole episode with obviously seeing Emery kind of has a softer heart than she wants to let on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not, you can tell
she got kind of caught off guard that there's actual children here.
Right.
You know?
That part you can tell bothered her, and you can tell she's going to end up probably assisting and making sure that these kids are saved. Also, we do get to see Tarkin, which is always a great appearance.
Oh, yeah.
We see Tarkin there.
And what's interesting is that even Tarkin doesn't know what's going on. Even, like, the highest general, you know, essentially, in the Empire at this point, doesn't even know what's happening.
Yeah. Well, and he doesn't even really care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he's like, whatever this dumb project is, just don't mess it up or you're spending all our money.
Taking all our money.
It's like, yeah. It's like you better not mess this up and spend all our money. So, and we do see, let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is really that of interest to bring up about that episode. I don't really think there is. We get introduced to some new like force sensitive kids, which you know, they could end up being, oh well, there is Cad Bane, right? He shows up at the end of this episode. Does he show up at the end of this one or is it just in the next episode?
That's a good question. I think it's it is the this one because basically they at the very end he brings the baby to the facilities to Emery. So yeah, I was in this episode.
Yeah, so
it was cool to see Cad Bane.
Cool to see Cad Bane as always. Cad Bane's pretty cool. And then moving on to the last episode, which is episode 11, Point of No Return. This one here, we see. What's your thoughts on this clone that's going around? That
yeah,
do you think
it just seems like they're putting a lot of
clone X2.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of kind of mystery around this clone. Mm-hmm. You know what
I'm
saying?
Do you think it's tech? I hear a lot of people saying they think
it's tech. I don't know. It could be maybe, but see, I thought he showed up before tech died. Supposedly, I thought I could be wrong on that, but. I don't know. Maybe not. Because it made it... The story thus far has kind of like almost made it seem as if this special assassin clone group has been around for a little bit already.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that tech couldn't have been, you know, brainwashed, indoctrinated, pre-programmed, whatever, and put it into this existing program.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a good question. Now, again, the fact that it's so mysterious and like only he is there and he's such an integral part of this capture, mm-hmm. It would be a bigger drop, I guess. To me, I don't want to say it's a cop-out, but it just seems kind of obvious. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if it is him, it's like, oh, it's tech. Well, how surprising is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, not to say that it wouldn't be a cool drop, I guess, but I don't know. It just seems kind of obvious. Like, tech just randomly disappears and they never recovered his body, you know? And it's like,
right.
Yeah,
no, it's definitely kind of the obvious, like, you know, if he takes his helmet off and it's tech, I'm going to be like, oh.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I'm not going to be like, oh, what?
You know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then at the same time, like, I don't even know who else it could be to make it that kind of like, oh, it's got
to
be.
To justify like this mystery, you know? Yeah.
Right. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but he does go, and he goes and lands in the same cave that, Ventress did. So obviously like they need to have some better like
some security in this
area
here.
In this cave. Like,
yeah. This is one blind spot that just no one knows about, I guess.
Yeah. And so X2 shoots detonators onto the Marauder and Wrecker notices, and so he goes and gets caught in the blast. Good riddance. Not having to hear Wrecker's voice for a while.
I know. I swear. I'm tired of Wrecker.
I'm so negative about this show in just every way. I know. It's got to, like, people that love the show probably like hate us. But
well, again, you know, there's that like short time where we realized D. Bradley Baker is from Bloomington, so we wanted to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, dude, his manager is probably listening to like one episode of this podcast, and they're like, no, he's not
they're
going
like, there's
on
no
here.
Way he can go on there. he comes in, and we're like, so why'd you choose such a
stupid voice for Wrecker?
and let me tell you, that dude, he loves Wrecker.
Oh, he loves it, too. Yeah.
I've seen him at multiple different conventions at this point. And the first thing he does at everything is he's just like, like in his Wrecker voice. And like, he thinks that everyone's going to love it. And I'm just like, no.
It's like, dude, you could be doing Rex or any of them. Now I think it's like, oh, it's so iconic because it's different and stuff. But it's like, but dude, you have to understand though,
good.
All the clone voices are iconic. It's just that it's been going for so long and there's so many clones that you don't feel like they're iconic. But they are. And if you did Rex, I can promise you people would enjoy that movie more.
Yeah, Wrecker's voice is just the absolute worst. It makes me so mad.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, moving on.
Yeah, so basically with this episode, the big thing is that Omega turns herself in.
Yeah, right? She's seeing all the carnage that she believes is being caused because of her. She says, you know what? I'm not letting anyone else die or get hurt or whatever. I'm going to turn myself in. Yeah. Which is, again, is such a, like this, you can tell this is really made for children because it's like, you do realize if you turn yourself in, yes, these people right now may be getting hurt and it's bad. Technically, it's not exactly your fault, first of all. But second of all, if you turn yourself in, it's going to aid a project that will ultimately hurt millions more people, you
know? And the stupid thing is she's like, she says she can turn herself in, and Crosshair's like, oh, well, you can't do that, we'll lose you or whatever. And she's like, oh, just shoot a tracker onto their ship.
Oh, okay.
And so then she turns herself in, and guess what? Crosshair doesn't get a chance to shoot a tracker onto the ship. So now she's completely gone again, and they're back where they started.
Exactly where they started. You know, and that's what's so frustrating with these shows. It just seems like a lot of these shows that Star has been putting out is that they'll have, like, basically a huge swath of episodes where, like, basically nothing happens.
It's almost like they were like, okay. They're like, so we can't keep Omega from the rest of the crew this whole season. So she's going to escape. They're going to hang out for a while, but, oh, then she's going to get taken again so that we can actually finish the story that we want to tell.
But
we just couldn't finish it yet because we needed her to spend more time with them in the season.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they did.
It's just, again, I said it a billion times already, and I'll say it again, with all of these Star Wars shows, whether it be animated or live action, it just seems like, oh, hey, here, guys, we're going to give you all of these episodes, 6, 8, 15, whatever, right? But probably 60% of these episodes, 65% of these episodes are going to be pointless and filler, and, like, there's no reason for it. Like, why? Give us a 2-episode season, then, if that's really what it comes down to. If both of those episodes are going to be super jam-packed with action and storytelling, and it gets us to where he needs to go. Because I was telling you before we started this podcast today, it's like, with these last two episodes, 10 and 11 of the show, you know, it just feels like, yes, for this, the second to last one on number 10, is it interesting to add context to the world and understand how bad the Empire really is and stuff? Yes. And is the last episode, number 11, is that necessary to progress the story in terms of how she gets back to the Empire or whatever? Sure, yes. But it's like, both of these episodes could have only been like 1 to 3 scenes and be done. But yet they stretch it out into 2 whole episodes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's just frustrating. It's like, why give us 15 episodes when you have several of them that's just nonsensical and mean nothing? And you know what I'm saying? I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but enough of us being negative Nancy's. you know, they're overall, I think that the theme of these episodes, the stuff that's going on, was more interesting as a whole than they have been.
Oh, 100%.
You know, you can tell we're gearing up towards the finale. We're getting in this second half of the season where the ante is being raised. So all those things are good. And so, you know, we'll leave it at that and hope that the rest of the season continues to kind of get better.
Well, you know, this season's been way better than the entirety of the second one, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Yeah, so we're being hard on it because it deserves it to a little bit, but it's definitely done better than the second season.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, as always, this is what we do, right? We critique and we, you know, talk about what we like and definitely what we don't like. But before we end out the episode, Brax, you want to go ahead and give us the answer to our trivia question?
Yes. So the question was, what is the name of Anakin's stepbrother? And that man is Bubba Johnny. That is Owen Lars.
Oh, man, so close.
What? That's not it. No, it's Bubba.
All right. Well, we want to thank you guys. We want to thank you guys so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed it. If you did, go ahead and like it and share. We would love for you to share this with all your friends and your family. Share it with your grandma, Share it with your neighbor,
the professor, the bum across the street.
Just anyone you can get your greedy little hands on. But but we also want to thank our good friends Galactic Empire for allowing us to use their music, which you're about to hear. But please like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for weekly news, polls, discussions, more. Please also follow us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. We'd love for you to leave a review on there. That helps us too. Make sure you also subscribe on Patreon. You can do that for only $5. We think that that is a steal, and you get an exclusive podcast and all those goodies. You get shout outs. We think it's worth it for $5, don't you, Raxton?
I agree.
Yeah, so we think you should join us. Hey, we'll have another episode here soon talking more about everything Star Wars, and of course the next episode of Bad Batch. But until then, may the Force be with you, and we thank you for joining the Jedi Eternal.